You know, the world right now is a really unsettled place. And for such a time as this, women play a most important role in history as peacemakers. The goal of Ladies of Liberty Sound Off is to affect the lives of women in an empowering way through discussion of important issues of the day. So, are you ready? The Ladies of Liberty are ready to sound off.
Ladies, I want to talk about service. I'm over the service issues that we have in every store you want to go in every restaurant, everything that we do that requires somebody's service, whether it's in-home service or whether you're going out to somebody's store or restaurant, man, it's just gone downhill. And even in resorts, I have stories. I'll start with a story. I have had a dishwasher problem for probably 3 months, and the probably longer than that, but let's say 3 months. And the problem is not that the dishwasher doesn't work, but that it leaks out of the front onto the floor. I have wood floors, so I can't have it leaking on my wood floors. Well, I called a serviceman out. He came out. First of all, I called a number of service people, couldn't even get anybody to respond. Finally, this guy responds. He's a longtime company in our area. He comes out and he fixes one thing that was wrong. And then I'm talking to him about the leak, and he puts in a new rubber thing that is supposed to stop the leak. No, it had actually it leaked worse after he left. So I call back. I'm talking 3 months ago. I have never received a call back or an email or a text, nothing from this person, nothing. And he was supposed to come back out and fix something that I had paid him for, and he never did. So out of desperation, I get a hold of another guy. He comes out. He says, well, you need a whole new door for your dishwasher. Okay, my dishwasher is not that old. I don't know why I need a whole new door. How much is it? Calls me back with a price like $600. I said, forget it. I'll buy a new dishwasher. If I'm going to pay that much, I'm just going all out and getting a new dishwasher. I want a certain dishwasher. I want a Bosch dishwasher because I do not want a dishwasher made in China. Bosch is made in Germany. It's assembled in America. I'm comfortable with that. So I find the one that I want. It's not in stock anywhere because, of course, we have all the supply chain shortages. Finally, it comes in at Home Depot. They arranged to make delivery last Saturday for me, and they show up with the dishwasher. The two people that came out to install the professional Home Depot dishwasher installers take a look at my dishwasher, which is a Samsung. And by the way, the entire house is under 5 years old. So he says, well, I can't get that out of there. It's in there too tight. He didn't try, by the way. He didn't pull on it. He didn't try. They did unscrew the panel at the bottom. And even I know that under a dishwasher, there are three little feet that you screw up or down to make it either stable or to make it loose so that you can pull it out. They didn't do any of that. Then they take the other dishwasher out of the box and they say, oh, this is 3/4 inches too wide for your space. Okay. A dishwasher space is 24 inches. The dishwasher that I have is 23 3/4. The dishwasher that I ordered is 23 3/4. They're both standard sizes. They're exactly the same size. So they wouldn't do anything. They said it's the wrong dishwasher. They took it back and they said, you can call Monday and figure out what to do. I wasn't home at the moment. My husband was. So that was what the plan was. So I come home and I am infuriated because I know I ordered the right dishwasher. I immediately get on the phone to Home Depot. They have to wait till Monday because these guys are on their way back with the dishwasher. I call Monday And they say, well, we've given you credit for the dishwasher and you can't get it back because now we're sold out. And I am so angry. I cannot tell you, with the holidays coming up and not having a dishwasher, you know, with company and those kinds of things. I just, everybody along the way, from the first guy that came out to fix it that never called back, to the second guy that came out, to Home Depot, to their incompetent people that are supposed to know what they're doing, it was a mess. And here's me, the customer, completely out. I can't even get the item anymore. And so I'll be washing dishes forever. But just the whole thing about customer service, and I'm sure that you both have stories as well. Hit me with them.
So Linda, like you just mentioned, service is something unbelievable to me, that it's difficult to find good service these days. That was something that I just considered to be part of the normal social culture. And I personally think what is greatly missing is a lack of caring. And I think that caring is lacking in employees and in some cases in ownership of these businesses, because it trickles down. It does. Things flow from the top. And when your employees at either a restaurant or, let's say, the service like you mentioned with the dishwasher, when you have people that don't care, they're not going to put forth the effort because they don't care. They're just getting a paycheck. People are working these days to just get a paycheck. They're not, they're not invested. And I think many, many years ago, when people took on a job and stayed in the job for a long time, they were invested because they maybe A, believed in what they were doing, or B, they were treated well by their employer. But today that seems to be very different. What I see in things as far as restaurant service, or even getting your nails done or your hair done, it's not about providing service so that the customer leaves satisfied. It's a matter of, I'm doing my job. And I think that's reflected in so many ways where you walk away feeling, what just happened here? I've walked out of restaurants and I understand things are a little different right now because there's a lot of help needed or help wanted signs and windows. But still, if you have that job, I struggle with what is lacking so that the person doesn't have that feeling of, I'm providing a service for you. And if I don't own this business, I'm doing this for my employer, and respect. So lack of caring and respect, I think, goes a long way in the problem of what we're having with poor service today.
I agree with that. I also think that the whole concept of the customer is always right, you know, which is sort of the base, or at least it was sort of the basis for any business to operate successfully. I think that is out the window. And you see it across the board. We also had a situation here in our house with Home Depot as well, where we were trying to buy a grill over the summer, you know, just a couple of months ago. And we had a very similar issue where they ordered us a grill. They told us that the grill was coming, you know, the next week. That was fine. And then, of course, they called us like the day before and they're like, oh, we can't get the grill for you anymore. You know, sorry. We went back to the store. We were supposed to pick out another grill. The manager there was so rude and so unhelpful. It turned into such an ordeal. And we ended up walking out of Home Depot and saying, forget it. We don't even want it. But I think that whole thing where, you know, trying to make the customer satisfied, that is gone. And you even look at it and look at the school districts. They're calling parents are the consumers in the school district. Sorry to tell people, but the parents are the consumers. And, you know, the parents are now being called domestic terrorists. You know, just the whole concept of trying to please the consumer and give the consumer a positive experience, you feel like that is out the window. Maybe it's because people left their jobs. Everybody left their jobs because they were getting paid more to stay home from the government. And so, you know, businesses are scrambling now to try to hire people, whoever they can get, any warm body in there to do the job. But the concept of pleasing the customer, that is out the window. No question.
Well, and I don't even think that people are able to train people to please the customer. Although, you know, in the US, some people really have the impression that some of these jobs, like serving in a restaurant, is beneath them. So they don't want to do it, and their attitude really shows it. It just seems to be in everything. I have an even better story that happened just yesterday. FedEx, we're expecting a package from FedEx. Okay, we live on a ranch. We have a property in front of our house, so we cannot readily see if a FedEx truck comes out there, and we have a gate. So FedEx comes by. By the way, we have none of these problems with UPS, only FedEx. So FedEx comes by to deliver the package. And I guess that I could see on my camera that he drove by, didn't stop, drove by, turned around at the end of the cul-de-sac and drove back by. So we get a little note that says that the package was undeliverable because there was nobody to sign. He never stopped. The next day, he comes back again. A FedEx truck comes back, and I'm out in the boondocks. So, you know, they have to make an effort to come out here. So I see the FedEx truck drive by, and I told my husband, I said, FedEx is out there. You better go grab him, because he didn't stop. He drove by and turned around. Well, then he stopped at the house or the place, the property next door to us, which is a little bit of a ways away, not too far. My husband went outside, and he said, "Hey, you have a package for us. You know, we're waiting for it." And the guy says, "I don't know what you're talking about. This is bizarre. I don't know what you're talking about." My husband says, "No, you tried to deliver a package yesterday. I need the package. Do you have it?" The guy says, "F you," to my husband. My husband was in shock. And he got in his truck and he drove away. About 3 minutes later, FedEx truck comes back down, and it's a different guy driving. He stops. My husband's still standing out in front with his jaw on the ground. And the guy, my husband says, "Do you know who that FedEx driver who just went by was?" He says, "No, I don't." This guy gave my husband the package. I don't even know. Then we tried to call FedEx to complain, and we couldn't get a live person on the phone. Oh, it's crazy. This is crazy.
That actually sounded kind of scary.
It was scary. It was very creepy.
Yeah. I mean, bizarre things happen now, but it's quite possible that somebody just hijacked a FedEx truck. And I mean, that's a weird thought, but his response was so out there that it would lead you to believe all kinds of bizarre things, because that's just not normal behavior for a FedEx driver.
I know. Oh, and he had a FedEx uniform on as well, but I mean, he said it more than once and very, very in a very threatening manner. My husband's not one to back down from that. I mean, we're people that have firearms. We know how to use them. So, I mean, he wasn't afraid. He was just in shock with the response. But yeah, I mean, it's just so pervasive with service everywhere. I don't want to blame it on COVID. I think it's if you want to put anything on COVID, it would be that our government's reaction or overreaction to COVID with paying people for these long times. And what happened by them shutting down all these businesses in the country as they did, people made life changes, big life changes all over the place, and they didn't go back to their jobs. So, I mean, we're going to be living with this for, I would say, another couple of years, the repercussions of having shut down our country. And one of you mentioned schools, Elise, I believe it was you that mentioned schools. That customer service has gone out the window and parents have become the enemies, as you know. And worse than that, they're actually being charged huge amounts of money, up to $90,000 for documents that they're asking for about what their children are being taught. Now, that is a freedom of information situation. They cannot charge for it, but they are trying to do this and trying to get away with it and charging parents for information that they're requesting. Then you have the situation in San Francisco of the restaurant which refused service to three police officers because they wear guns. I mean, how stupid can you be? Who do you think that restaurant would call if somebody came in to rob them while they're having their service hours? Who do you think that they would call? You want our police officers to have guns. You want them to be protecting the public. I feel completely safe in a restaurant with police officers eating there. I feel more safe than without them eating there. I don't know what's going on with that situation either, but we are pretty topsy-turvy.
I feel so awful for these police officers. I really do. I mean, these people leave their house every day, putting their lives on the line for total, complete strangers like us. And somebody has the gall to go up to them in a restaurant and say, get out, you have a gun. I mean, what on earth? When did that happen in this country? When did that happen? Didn't we always teach our kids that the police and the firemen and, you know, the community workers were the people to be revered and thankful for and, you know, looked up to, and these were our role models? I mean, how on earth did that happen to our police officers? I feel so, every time I see a police officer, I'm always so inclined to just go up and say, thank you so much for not giving up on this community or on this country or whatever, and still wanting to do the job that you do. It's amazing to me that police officers still get out of bed in the morning and want to go out and help other people with the way they've been treated. I don't like that at all.
You know, both of you, Elisa and Linda, what do you think is the main issue, like the root of the problem as a result of COVID? I know, Linda, you said we can't blame this on COVID. However, something has dramatically happened and changed just really within the last 2 years regarding service. And do you think that when people stayed home, their lives had to change, adjust, rearrange, and people have decided, you know what, that job that I was working at a fast food restaurant or minimum wage job, I am making more now staying home and not working. I'm not going to go back and basically feel is entitled too big of a word, but that they want things to change. They don't want them the way that they were. They don't want to be, you know, working for the guy. Is it a mindset, and can we recover from that?
Well, I think I disagree a little bit that this has happened. Maybe it's gotten worse, as you said, but I have been talking about service issues for years, and I've been talking about it on the radio. In fact, the very first show I ever did 5 years ago on America Out Loud was on service and how it has declined in this country. You know, we don't believe in America. We've become very entitled here. And if you go to Europe or you go to Mexico and you take a service industry like food, okay, like restaurant servers, that's a career for people. It's something that they actually train for and they're proud of, and they do a very good job at it. Where here, it's considered beneath people. Now, I have friends, literally adult male friends, that have just recently gotten jobs at McDonald's getting paid $20 or $21 an hour because McDonald's can't find people. I mean, this is, and how much now do you pay for your hamburger? I'd rather go have a steak, you know, for the same price. It's we We are spoiled brats in America, is all I can say, that we don't respect one another, that there's very few people that really care what kind of service they give. They want their paycheck. This is a mentality that I see when people come to my company for a job. The first thing that they ask me is what their benefits are, what their vacation is. When I was looking for jobs, my first thought was, what can I offer to this company that will make it better, that will make me worthy to be employed by them? They don't think that way at all anymore.
No,
I mean,
they don't.
They almost resent us as customers. The lack of respect for people in this country, and where does it come from? I'm very firm in my mind that it comes from our dysfunctional parents, politicians. So our politicians are our dysfunctional parents, and the disrespect that they have for one another, that we see all day, every day in the media, and the disrespect that they have for us, the American citizen, carries over into all of our lives, and it gives people permission to be just as dysfunctional as they are.
I completely agree. I think that it has kind of been, maybe it has gotten worse because of COVID and the issues surrounding COVID, but I do think that this has been a long time coming. For 6 or 7 years in my town here, I ran a day camp up until, you know, when we had to shut the camp down because of COVID. But we, every year we would have to hire counselors, you know, which were like teenagers, college students. Some of the head counselors and the division heads had to be, you know, in their early 20s. You cannot believe the sense of entitlement coming from that generation and applying for a job nowadays. It is astounding. I mean, the job required them to work for literally 34 days in the summer. It was a 7-week day camp. It was a 34-day job. They wanted to know, do we get sick time? Can we take a day off? What happens if I have to leave early? I'm not getting paid as much as the lifeguard. I was astounded. I was like, this is a summer job. You know, I was the same way that you just described, Linda. When I was looking for my first jobs, I was like, I don't care if you don't give me any vacation at all. I just want to get to work. I want to start working. I want this job. I'm ready to go. And that does not exist anymore. And I just think that, I don't know if it's because, you know, I look a lot at parents and how they raise their kids these days. And they make these kids, they're such helicopter parents. They treat their kids like they're pieces of broken glass, you know, and you got to almost step around the kid, and that they raise their kids with this mentality that everybody, that, you know, they are the most important thing in the entire world, and that they are entitled to the best of the best of the best of the best. And without putting any sort of work ethic into that, or any sort of, you know, values of hard work and, you know, rewards from that. And I think that that's a part of the problem also. So now, you know, we have a generation of people who have grown up like this. So why would they care if, you know, you don't get the right dishwasher? Why would they care if, you know, the item that you ordered came in or not, or if your food was delivered to you in a courteous and timely manner and it came out of the kitchen hot? Why would they care? It doesn't affect them, you know? So maybe that sort of mentality plays into this also. I don't know.
Oh, I would agree. Absolutely. And that's a whole show that we've actually had great conversations about. But I do think that is affecting, because that generation is the young workers right now, and that lack of integrity and respect and the entitlement is like a cancer in the workforce. And they, to the degree that they want the baby boomers gone. I don't know if anyone else has experienced hearing that, but, and I have a 21-year-old daughter who's a senior in college, But she jokingly, because we're boomers, she'll come home and we'll say something and she'll say, "Oh, you boomers." And we joke about it, but there is a mentality out there that the boomers are taking jobs away from her generation and those within 5 to 10 years after her, or older than her rather. And it's a different mindset than what we had. And in a short, fun little story regarding that, when I was, I think I was just out of college, or maybe I was a senior, just about to be a senior in college, I was invited to a military ball at the Naval Academy in Annapolis. And that was quite a thing. And I was really looking forward to it. But unfortunately for that summer, my training for a job at a large upscale department store here in East Lansing started the day of the event out in Annapolis. And I had a choice to make. And my father, who was very much the businessman, just looked at me and he said, "You don't have a choice to make. You have to take that job." And I did. I took the job and I did not go to that military ball like I really wanted to. But that was the way that we were raised. Work came first, and you worked so that you could take time well earned and relax later. But that's not the way things are right now. And I think it is getting worse. It's been there for a long time, but I think it's definitely worse recently.
So I want to ask each of you a question independently here. Same question. Are parents the ones who should be fixing this, Becky?
You know, in my mind, the root of the problem could go back to how a generation was raised. And that's the downfall of why kids feel entitled and why they're rude servers and why there's poor service. It would be easy to say, well, yes, the parents just need to teach different values and then problem solved. But unfortunately, the family's broken. And it has been for a long time, but it's more broken now than it ever has been before. And I don't see that there's any going back. I would love to say yes, but I don't think that's realistic.
How about you, Lisa?
I don't think it's realistic either. Although I do think I don't know that that would solve the problem, but I think that it would definitely change things. I mean, I think you can talk to any employer, you know, yourself included, but whether it's a day camp or a Wall Street investment bank, you know, it is across the board, you know, the same story that the younger generation is coming in with such a sense of entitlement that it's almost hard to stomach, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I do think that, you know, that would the parents changing that if you went back to, you know, the more traditional sort of family values where a work ethic was installed, where you were not entitled to anything, you know, unless you worked for it. You know, I would have had the same experience in my family, Becky, as my parents would have said, "Sorry, honey, you're not going to the ball. You're going to work." That would have been, you know, there's going to be many balls, but you know, it's time you got to learn responsibility at some point. And, you know, I don't think that the younger generation as a whole, and not all of them, of course, but just making a very wide generalization, I do think that that is pervasive across the board, that they just have a sense of entitlement that, you know, is growing and not going away.
Don't miss an episode of the Ladies of Liberty Sound Off. Subscribe to the podcast. And for the latest news and inspiration, join us back at AmericaOutloud.com.
Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, you know, I have to put a good word in for Healthy Cell. They have three lines of products that I've been using now for months. One is Immune Super Boost, which is a daily supplement designed to supercharge your immunity. And boy, do we need this now with COVID-19 and the revelation that the COVID-19 spike protein could be in our body for a year and a half after the illness or after vaccination. The next product is focus and memory. And again, this brain fog that happens in the long COVID syndrome and even occurs in the post-vaccination syndrome appears to be really calling for a lot of the essential ingredients in the Focus product for Healthy Cell. And then lastly, my favorite product is the sleep product. The REM Sleep Healthy Cell product has a wonderful blend of combinations of key elements to restore normal sleep architecture. It's very important. It's different than getting put to sleep or forced to sleep. Getting a healthy sleep and having normal sleep architecture is quality sleep. And when we have good quality sleep, we have lower stress hormones during the day. We feel better. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to bed tonight until I've taken my Healthy Cell REM Sleep product. So go to healthycell.com. And when you order, hit the promo box and type in out loud. That will give you a 20% discount off the products. Try them. Try a box. Try all three and do your own self-assessment. I know I've done it. So let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Oh, there was a time when Americans could rely on the Fourth Estate. Well, in these challenging times, the media is both reckless and complicit. AmericaOutloud.com. Top analysis from leading experts, articles, podcast, video, and 24/7 talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called ShopToTheRight.com. And it's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together. And we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Welcome back, ladies. Tis the season. Yep, Christmas is pretty much here. We have a lot to do, we have a lot to think about, and we have a lot to talk about regarding this topic today. And with me today, I have Linda Bartonelli, host of America Out Loud. And Linda is a mom and a dog mom of a beautiful dog. I'm forgetting at the moment the type of dog, Linda, but it's a gorgeous, gorgeous pup. And then we have Alisa Akringold. She's been a TV producer for ABC News. Good morning, America. She hails from Connecticut. And welcome, Alisa. This, you and I are new being on the show together and loving it. This is great. And I am Becky Kohlmeinen. I'm a voice talent, been doing that for about 15 years now. And I live in the very cold and snowy mid-Michigan area. So welcome, and ho, 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 Christmas is really here. And you know what? Christmas has changed over the years, some of which has to do with the fact that I'm grown up and I don't stay up till midnight anymore and wait for Santa to come down the chimney and get all dressed up and go to church. But the commercialism that is happening with Christmas has become a behemoth in society, starting with October, going back to October. If you're out in the stores and you're looking for something fall-ish, you know, to put on the table, maybe thinking Thanksgiving coming up soon, all of a sudden you turn the aisle and there's there are Christmas decorations. And oddly enough, occasionally in end of October, even before Halloween, I've heard Christmas music playing and Christmas commercials. Something that is getting pushed onto people because the marketers need to push it on people so that consumerism happens. And the businesses expect that, so they're all about that. And the true meaning of Christmas really gets lost in the shadows, in my opinion. And it seems every year to be getting bigger and bigger and is a tremendous moneymaker more than anything else. And it's hard to be able to separate this sometimes when you have little children or you're a business owner and you know that that time of year you're going to be expecting to either produce more of a product or make more money or bring in more money. So a lot of things to deal with this holiday season. So where are you at with this, ladies?
Well, for me, Becky, my family celebrates Hanukkah, and I always look forward to Hanukkah every year. It's always a very festive sort of celebratory time of year. But, you know, this year it felt very different to me. I maybe because it came right after Thanksgiving. So it was a little anticlimactic. You know, we were celebrating Thanksgiving. We were looking forward to Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving with the food and the family. And there was literally no time after Thanksgiving to have any kind of buildup towards Hanukkah. So it just was a little bit of a, not a downer, but it just didn't have the same sort of festive feeling that it normally does. That being said, I also notice, you know, early in October, I want to say even before Halloween, with the Halloween decorations, I was seeing Christmas things. And I'm like, we just finished the summer. How are we already? I mean, it was still hot outside. How are we already planning for Christmas and talking about Christmas? And I don't know so much the meaning of Christmas from a religious perspective or the spiritual aspect of it, but, you know, I feel like there has to be some sort of, you know, spiritual lessons or some sort of religious significance that could be, you know, imposed or, you know, kind of transmitted. And I don't ever feel that. To me, it's like all about, it's just about the gifts and the list and shopping and, you know, all of that. So I don't know. It seems like the meaning of it has been really minimized. Am I right about that?
Well, it really has been minimized. And, you know, when I was a kid, we really celebrated Christmas and we celebrated the meaning of Christmas. And there were nativity scenes everywhere and it was allowed. And then they started not allowing nativity scenes around and they started really taking Christ out of Christmas and making it just a commercial holiday. Actually, I think it was Macy's was the first one to really start not taking Christ out of Christmas. That's not what I'm saying, but making it much more commercial. And the fact that, you know, we do have these displays out so early, I'm with you, Elisa. It's very, I don't know, I'm not ready for it when they start with all of the holiday things. And I understand people want to buy things early. So I stopped buying Christmas presents per se a long time ago with my family. And I prefer to give them gifts of travel or memories. Memories is what I'll call it, so that they have something that will last them a lifetime rather than something that they'll, you know, throw away in a year or two. I do think we've lost the meaning of Christmas. It's such a beautiful season and such a beautiful meaning. And I so well remember the whole religious aspect of it when I was a child that is missing today. And why? Why is it missing? It's missing because we have these progressive left people, these social justice warrior people that want to take it away from us, that want to say that because there's a nativity display or something that brings Christ into Christmas, that is some sort of illegal, you know, between church and state, all of the things that they could use to really take Christ out of Christmas, because they don't want it to be that way. They don't want people to be religious. They don't want people to remember Christ and what Christmas means. So it's become really a very commercial holiday, and families have to make the effort to really let their children know what it means. Even at schools, and we talk about schools all the time. You know, remember when we were all kids, how we were able to have Christmas celebrations, and now you can't really do that because it's not inclusive of every other religion that could possibly be there. So I don't like the direction. I'm very stressed at Christmas time. I feel obligated to go out and buy certain people things. And then I really put a lot of mental effort into that. What would they really like? I just find it really stressful instead of a really peaceful and beautiful season like it used to be. And I think I can safely say that a lot of people that I know feel the same way.
You know, this year in particular, I've been having conversations with my parents who I'm so grateful are still super healthy and active and with us. My father's 87, my mother's 83, and we can't keep them down. They're more social than we are. But in our family and growing up, we had a lot of family celebrating going on for Christmas with extended family, even because I knew my great grandmother until I was 24 years old. So as long as the matriarch of the family was alive, we had like four different celebrations with extended families on both sides of my father's and my mother's side. And we had very, very few gifts. And what it was really all about was getting together and sharing a fabulous special meal. You know, you broke out the china and the crystal if you had it. And we talked about Christ's birth, and it was very, in fact, before we opened presents, there was a Bible reading and there was conversation, and that has always been there my whole life. But this year, because the nieces and nephews are now married and having children of their own, we're not all able to get together like we used to. And this probably will be the first year that we won't have a big family gathering at my parents' house. And I'm so sad because that feeling that happens at Christmas time, somewhat nostalgic, but that it's important for people, families, to spend time together. And family means a lot of things to a lot of different people. And some situations are not really good. But for me and my situation, it's going to be really, really tough to not have that time together and share about what's going on in our lives and with each other, and giving more than gifts, but giving of each other and our time. And that's how it's changing for me.
You know, I was just thinking also about what Linda was saying, you know, how all of a sudden, because not everybody celebrates Christmas, you can no longer say Merry mm-hmm. Christmas. And all of a sudden it became a happy holidays, and it became sort of not acceptable to say Merry Christmas to people. And I don't get that. I mean, I'm not Christian, but I was never offended because there were big Christmas celebrations in schools. I loved it. I thought it was beautiful. To me, just because I don't personally celebrate Christmas, I don't have a problem if somebody in the store says to me, Merry Christmas. I'll say it right back to them. I think it's so nice. And okay, so you don't celebrate Christmas. So what if somebody puts a nativity scene out? What do you care? Why does it bother you? I don't understand why everybody's all of a sudden so offended by a nativity scene. So what? So it's a religious thing. What's wrong with that? I think that is something we are desperately missing in this country, is just going back to religiousness and values and whatever the religion may be. You don't have to be offended because somebody mentions a religion that you don't celebrate. So what? You know, those people are just snowflakes. That's all I can, you know, that's what I think.
I like that.
How apropos for the Christmas season. You know, it's one thing I loved about President Trump is he went back to saying Merry Christmas. And I love that because the President Obama didn't want anybody saying Merry Christmas. And I mean, Christmas, the whole meaning of Christmas, whether you're Catholic, Christian, whatever you are, and Elisa, you being Jewish also, I mean, I you can't help but feel the beauty in the story of Christmas and, you know, the birth of Jesus and the whole religious aspect of it. It's a beautiful thing, whether you really believe in the story or not. I mean, I happen to, it's how I grew up. I understand that everybody doesn't, but you can't deny the beauty of the story and the meaning of having God in your life. That, I mean, that's the meaning of Christmas. So why people want to take it away, I understand why they want to take it away. We have a segment of our country that wants us to be completely secular. They don't want any religion. They want everybody to be, is agnostic the right word? I'm not sure. They want us to be unreligious. And, you know, all of the things that you think about that are being done in our country with everything that we've talked about leads to one thing, which is the loss of our country, the loss of our freedoms, and they're being taken one at a time. And I just say that we as families need to make sure that our children are raised in our religious beliefs and instill those in them, whatever they are, extremely well. It goes to every single thing that we do. It goes to our behaviors, because if you are a very religious person, chances are that you are going to behave in a way that respects other people. And even in our first segment today, talking about the lack of respect in customer service, I mean, these things all are tied together, I believe. So I'm all for having the Christmas trees. I love them. Having all the decorations, I love that. We have festivals in our town. I love that. But I would really like to remember the meaning of Christmas and the meaning of us all, you know, treating one another in a loving and respectful way. And we've gotten away from all of those things.
We definitely have gotten away from all of that. There's no question about it. I think that, you know, the fact that, you know, and, you know, when you say that people who are raised with religion most likely, you know, generally speaking, and of course there's always exceptions to the rule, but generally speaking, those people are going to be people who have grown up with, you know, knowing how to respect other people and how to respect other people's beliefs and other people's traditions, and that it doesn't have to be your way or the highway. And if you are different from anybody else, then that person isn't entitled to have their beliefs also. I mean, I don't mind at all as well. I don't mind, like you said, having the commercialization of the holiday. I don't think it needs to be in the middle of October. You know, I think we can probably push it back a little bit. Maybe that's just a retail thing, but from a values perspective, you know, I would love to see the value of the holiday season brought back to the families and brought and instilled in our communities, as opposed to just the commercial aspect of it. And, you know, just the latest gadget and the latest gift and the, you know, I don't know, the lists and the this and the that, and the pressure that comes along with that. You know, if you take the specialness and you put that back into it, I think that some of that commercialization will go away. I don't know how that's going to happen, though. I really don't.
That's the key. I don't know how that's going to happen. You're right. And that would be a beautiful thing. But I don't, without repairs made in the family element, what generations are being taught and how values are being passed down. I don't know, except to not give up and pass those values on to the next generation. And that's about the only way that you can have things change.
You know, there's a old saying and an old proverb that I love, which is, you know, teach them while they're young and they will never veer in their path. And, you know, if we do that, if we do teach our kids, you know, just one family at a time, maybe at some point we can start to make an impact and change some of these things.
There's always hope. You can never give up hope.
Well, and there is hope. And I think that those of us who do remember the meaning of Christmas, and it's not the youngest of generations. It's going to be the people, the baby boomers and the generations around that time that are old, before and after the baby boomers, that really had the benefit of having a holiday like Christmas be understood as to what it really meant, as opposed to the younger generations now, because they're not allowed to have these celebrations that we were allowed to have. I think it's up to us to make sure that our kids and grandkids understand the meaning of Christmas. And, you know, there's so many more things that you could talk about. Whatever direction you want to go, it really has to do with the entire kind of lessening of religious celebrations, religious beliefs in our country, religious participation in churches and, you know, organized religion. Participation has gone down a great deal. So I think that it speaks to that as well. And so to do one thing with Christmas, you almost have to do the other as well. You've got to, they go hand in hand. And we seem to have the completely non-religious people, or the people that want to take religion out of everything, seem to be winning the game at this point. And I don't think that needs to happen. I think that we need to kind of fight back with doing our best to celebrate the holidays in our own families. And families, again, are such a key to having traditions like Christmas, the meanings of Christmas, Hanukkah, the meanings of Hanukkah, the traditions of Christmas, the traditions of Hanukkah, and any other religious, you know, holiday that you want to talk about. It's up to the families to really instill that in their children, I think. And I think it can be fixed, because the beauty and value that you get inside of you from those traditions and experiences are, they're wonderful. Why make it a completely commercial? How much money can you spend and how much can I get from people for Christmas? That doesn't make me feel good inside.
No, but it's intentional. It's absolutely intentional. It's to take God out of the equation. It's to take Christ out of Christmas. And that is intentional. It's like the more stuff you have, you know, whoever has the most toys wins, literally. And that's not going to go away. So it is going to be, it's a battle. It's probably going to be, continue to be a battle. And so we know who wins in the end. Spoiler alert.
Well, Hanukkah was always kind of a strange, you know, the whole notion of Hanukkah was never about gifts. The whole practice of Hanukkah was never about gifts. It was always about miracles and spreading light. And all of a sudden it became the eight nights of gifts as opposed to the eight nights of light. And, you know, I kind of always like to tell my kids, you know, all right, I'm not going to take the gift thing out of it for them. Of course. I mean, when they're kids, they, you know, that's just the fun of being a kid. But I'm not going to do the eight nights. Don't be expecting like this whole thing where every night for eight straight nights, you're going to be getting all these gifts. Like, I didn't want that to be the focus of it. So now they know that usually on Hanukkah, they're going to get one nice gift. And, you know, I like to keep it that way. Even if it's a gift card and they can go out and get what they want, I want them to have a little gift. That's fine. But, you know, to take away the meaning of it, you know, I want them to also understand that this is what happened with the history and the reason that we have Hanukkah. And I want to teach them those lessons as well, because, you know, as Jewish people, I mean, we're certainly a tiny, teeny little minority in the scope of the population. And, you know, if they don't understand the meaning of Hanukkah, how are they going to teach it to their kids? So, you know, I don't want to make it about all the gifts. I don't want to make it about, you know, the consumer aspect of the holiday, because that's not what it's about ultimately.
Yeah. Well, I think from the Ladies of Liberty, we would like to wish everybody a happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah. What other ones should we include in there, ladies? I want to make sure that I don't miss anybody.
There's always Kwanzaa.
There's Kwanzaa.
Uh-huh. And I don't know any other ones. Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, we wish everybody a very happy holiday season and include everybody in it. And, you know, hopefully people will remember to, you know, also remember their Christ, their God, their religion in the holiday. And, you know, just the happiness of sharing with family and the joy that it brings to be together. I think that Dr. Fauci has put a little bit of a dampening on this with talking about people not being able to get together for the holidays again. And I'm not going for that. I'm definitely getting together with my family. And, you know, I just think it's critically important to all of our family relationships and our mental health to be with those that we love at the times of the holidays.
Definitely. Definitely. Here, here.
Cheers, everyone.
Yes, cheers. And as they say in Hebrew, l'chaim.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. To life.
Yes.
To life. That's Merry Christmas, everyone.
Well, ladies, that's a wrap. One more step for womankind.